This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Steve Jones Show. I'm Todd Hummel here. Steve is, of course, still a quarterback club for this first segment. I think there's a big game this week. Ohio State, I think, is visiting. Nah, just kidding. Ohio State visiting for Big Noon Saturday on Fox. Ohio State at Penn State noon, I believe. Steve and Jack will be on the air at 10:30 on Eagle 107. And this is one of the biggest weeks of the high school sports season. Everybody in playoffs right now, and we're getting into the nitty gritty of soccer, field hockey, and volleyball. Their district finals are upcoming this week. Cross country state finals. Those races kick off at 9 a.m. down at the Hershey Park course. We got a lot of we got a lot of runners with a shot to take home some gold. Bailey Espinoza of Lewisburg and Jonathan Hess are favored individually in their races. Claire Dufresne of Warrior Runs got a shot in Class A girls. The Danville girls team and Lewisburg girls team have a shot at a state team championship. Danville will be looking to repeat, and if they do, they don't have a upperclassman or a senior on their roster. I shouldn't say an upperclassman. And then cross country states at Hershey on Saturday. Boys and girls soccer, volleyball, and field hockey finals are all starting this evening. We'll start with girls volleyball. Shamokin and Lewisburg, I believe. I guess I should have looked at that a little closer. They play tonight at Williamsport for the District 4 Class AA Girls Volleyball Championship. That's a sport that's really taken off over the past couple years. Shamokin, Lords, Danville, Midwest, I believe, started last year, Lewisburg, and now a lot of the Heartland Athletic Conference schools will have girls volleyball, I think, next year or the year after. Tonight, some people a little more locally, immediately around the station, the Sealands Grove and Athens boys will play in the District 4 Class 3A Championship. That'll be up at Balls Mills outside of Williamsport in Hepburnville. And then the nightcap of that one at 8 o'clock is Shikellamy and Sealands Grove girls for the District 4 3A girls soccer final. Shikellamy looking for a repeat in that one. On Thursday, the rest of the soccer and the field hockey is on Thursday. The District 4 Class A girls final, South Williamsport and Muncie, is Thursday at 5:30 at Bloomsburg High School. South is looking for three straight Class A girls state district championships. District 4 2A final will be Hughesville and Central Columbia girls. That game is at Milton at 7:30. And in the district boys soccer, both of these games are Thursday night as well. Undefeated Norrie Christian looking for their first ever District 4 boys soccer title. They will face Millville at Bloomsburg High School. That's Thursday at 7:30. Also Thursday at 7:30 over at Shikellamy High School in a game that should be a real good one. Boys soccer, District 4 Class 2A final, Lewisburg and Midwest. These teams have met a lot over the last 4 or 5 years. They played once this year to a 1-1 tie. Lewisburg is undefeated. Midwest has lost to Central Columbia, and I think one more game should be a real good one at Shikellamy Thursday night at 7:30. Then in field hockey, the Class A consolation game, Sealands Grove will play Bloomsburg. That game is at 5:30 at Milton. And then the Class A field hockey district championship, Midwest and Mifflinburg, that will be at Shikellamy at 5:30 also on Thursday. Then, of course, also this week, the District 4 football playoffs kick off. Danville and Lewisburg receive first-round byes in Class 3A, so those two teams will not play this week. We'll kick off things kick off on Friday night with the Class 2A quarterfinals and the Class 4A semifinals. The Class 2A quarterfinals will be number 8 seed South Williamsport at number 1 seed Troy, number 5 seed Hughesville at number 4 seed Southern Columbia, number 7 Bloomsburg at number 2 Towanda, and number 6 Warrior Run at number 3 Loyal Sauk. Then in the Class 4A semifinals, number 4 Athens travels to number 1 Shamokin, and on Eagle 107, which will come on the air at 6 o'clock, Sealands Grove travels to Jersey Shore. Sealands Grove, the 3 seed, Jersey Shore, the number 2 seed in a district semifinal. And just a note, my boss at the newspaper, Bill Bowman, was doing a little research, and this will be, I believe, the 23rd time since 2013 that Jersey Shore and Sealands Grove have played. They have played twice every year, or maybe it's 21. They have played twice every year except for 2020, which is pretty impressive. It shows kind of, you know, both teams' ability to get into the playoffs over that span. Then Saturday, we wrap up the District 4 football playoffs with Class A semifinals and Class 3A quarterfinals. In Class A, number 4 seed Canton visits number 1 Muncie, and number 3 Montgomery visits number 2 Lyon Mountain. Class 3A has Mifflinburg at Montoursville and Milton at Mount Carmel. Milton is the 6 seed, Mount Carmel the 3, Mifflinburg and Montoursville is a 4-5 game. And like I said, in Class 3A, Danville and Lewisburg will have byes. Danville will get the winner of Mifflinburg-Montoursville. Lewisburg will host the winner of Milton and Mount Carmel. And it's also busy on the college gridiron this weekend as well in this area. Of course, like I said, Ohio State is visiting Penn State. That game will air on Eagle 107.3. Kickoff is set for 12 p.m. I believe airtime for Steve and Jack will be 10:30 a.m. on Eagle 107.3. Then, of course, Bucknell is also home this weekend. They host Lafayette. Kickoff is at 1. Airtime is 12:30 on 1070 WAM, News Radio 1070 WKOK. And just a note, Lafayette's got two locals on their team. Danville's Carson Persing is on the Leopards, as is Lewisburg's Owen Ordonez. So if you get a chance to get out to Bucknell on Saturday, you got a couple locals to check out on the opponents. And, of course, the number 6 ranked in Division 3, Susquehanna Riverhawks. They are also home this weekend. They will host Moravian at 1 p.m. And that doesn't even begin. Both Penn State men's basketball and Bucknell men's basketball open on Monday. Bucknell is at Delaware. I forget where Steve said Penn State was at. And I don't have the note right here. I was trying to go off the top of my head. I should know better than to do that. So, yeah, that is the schedule this weekend. It's going to be pretty busy around here. Again, as a reminder, all those district soccer, field hockey, volleyball, and football games that I just went through, no ticket sales at the door. Must get online to get your tickets. Online ticket sales only for all those district games. The PIAA District 4 website is the place to go. There's usually there's a banner across the top that says purchase tickets here. The only difficult part is you got to scroll through every single district game between all the sports to try and find the one you want. But again, ticket sales for District 4 playoff games are online on the District 4 website. So, you know, the one thing that we did not get into at all at the early part of the week is where I went to on Friday night, and that was one of the more interesting trips of my career, to be honest. You know, you don't get a lot of, you know, I think Steve and I have talked about this a couple times since I've been on here, that the attendance to some of these high school events are not what it once was, but that certainly cannot be said for last Friday night's Coal Bucket out at the Silver Bowl. Never did get a final number count on the attendance, but was told immediately afterwards that it was northwards of 7,000 people in attendance. I got there about, I think I told Steve on Friday that my game plan was actually to be a little later and avoid the traffic. And it actually worked. So I cruised in about 20 after 6. And if you're familiar with where the Silver Bowl was, I ended up parking in Beaverdale. I was probably a half a mile away from the stadium, across from the cemetery is where that little incorporated town is, right past where you would park for the Mount Carmel, near the Mount Carmel Elementary School, where you turn back to go back to the elementary and high school there in Mount Carmel. Our photographer went the early route and got there at 4:45. Gates opened at 4:45, and he was one of the last people in the elementary and high school parking lots. And so that's how big the crowd was. Man, the Indians fans were there in full force. They were shoulder to shoulder the whole way through. Shoulder to shoulder in the visitors section, and two and three deep at points in the fence in front of the visitors section. And you know, with the way the game went, Shamokin was kind of able to dominate the line of scrimmage and took an early 7-0 lead. And Mount Carmel never crossed. I think their deepest penetration in the Shamokin territory was the Shamokin 41. So they never really threatened in a 21-0 loss. And it kind of turned into an old school revival for the Indians. It was a lot of celebration. The Shamokin fans were fired up the entire four quarters. You know, it was a real fun atmosphere, and it was nice to see the Indians play well. That's, you know, 1995 is a long enough time than I would care to admit, and you could tell that they have that group, that the Shamokin fans have been waiting for nearly 30 years to win that trophy. It was nice to see. I saw Coach Carm DeFrancesco on the sidelines on Friday night. He helps coach the Shamokin inside linebackers, and he's seen this rivalry from both ends as coach at both schools, and you could tell how much it meant to Carm to finally break that streak on the Shamokin side. He's one that's went through a couple tough losses when he was Shamokin coach. I kind of joked with him. There was a game in 2001 or 2002 where they were favored and ended up losing 13-11, and one of Mount Carmel's touchdowns was a 99-yard quarterback sneak. So, you know, just strange things seem to happen to Shamokin in the coal bucket, and I was glad to see that they were kind of able to get away from that and able to get a really big victory. And, you know, 10-0 now undefeated in the regular season for the first time since 1991. And I'm really interested to see what this turns into for the Indians. They should be heavily favored this week against Athens. You know, a rematch next week against either Selins Grove or Jersey Shore. And that was, you know, the Selins Grove game was a 10-point game over at Selins Grove. And Shamokin beat Shore up at Shore by 2 points to actually, you know, that victory is probably the one that earned them the home game in 2 weeks if they are able to be the champion in the championship game. But I'd like to see them put together a run. You know, it's a team that I think is capable of doing it. You know, you look at the numbers, you know, their defense is averaging less than 10 points a game. That, you know, they're very balanced. They can run the ball on almost anybody. You know, they've been in tight games against good teams and won. You know, you point to that Selins Grove, I point to the 17-12 win over Lewisburg a couple weeks ago. And then just last week's against Mount Carmel. So it's a team that's prepared for the postseason and should be ready to make some noise once we head into the PIAA state playoffs. So that's going to wrap it up for this segment here on the Steve Jones Show. We'll take a break. We are sponsored by Sunbury Motors, Brewers Outlet, and Purdy Insurance. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio, and you're listening live on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs Maintenance take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK in the Sunbury Motors studio. Steve is still at quarterback club. Of course, the Penn State Nittany Lions will host Ohio State on at 12 noon on Saturday. Just saw while we were at break, it sounds like former President Trump has decided not to attend Saturday. So, what we were talking about a little earlier about the coal bucket, if you want to get a chance to watch the coal bucket, Service Electric TV, Channel 8, will be showing it two times this week. It is on, I believe, tomorrow morning, Thursday morning at 9 o'clock in the morning, and then Friday at 1 p.m., 1 in the afternoon. And I believe they are airing the Hughesville-Southern Columbia game this week, the 7 o'clock game, District 4 Class 2A quarterfinal out at Southern Columbia. We'll have Ohio State play-by-play football play-by-play voice Paul Keels in the next segment to talk with Steve. We'll get a look at the Buckeyes in the face of the upcoming game. Hope you got a chance to check out a little bit of the World Series last night. It looks like the Yankees are going to at least try and make a little bit of a game of it. The Yankee Stadium was a little raucous last night. I don't know. I can't believe that. I'm sure you've all seen or heard by now what happened to Mookie Betts in the, I believe it was the first inning, when there was the foul ball into the stands and one of the Yankees fans grabbed onto his wrist and tried to hold on, and somebody else tried to steal the ball out of his glove, and then they were kicked out of the game, obviously. But it sounds like that they are going to be allowed back tonight. They are season ticket holders. And last I saw before I came in, an ESPN story about the crew. That's a whole nother issue. I don't understand why you would glorify that, but sounds like they're going to be allowed back into the stadium, which is a little weird. And I saw people like comparing it to Jeffrey Mayer, which, you know, if you remember, was the 12-year-old kid that interfered, I believe it was against the Orioles, and again, it's a big difference between a 12-year-old kid interfering and a full-grown adult, you know, who probably should know better. You would guess they would know better. Apparently, they did not, and they interfered with the game. But the Yankees come back, get a big victory, force a Game 5. That game is tonight. It is a rematch of Game 1, Gerrit Cole versus Jack Flaherty. And, you know, Garrett pitched pretty well in that opener, and they were in, you know, the Yankees were in good shape until late in that game, until the ninth inning. So, should be interesting to see. I wonder if, you know, if the Yankees are able to get this one tonight, if it, for lack of a better way to put it, makes the Dodgers tighter for these last two games as they go back to LA for the final two. And I also wonder, you know, how the Dodgers, you know, they seem to think that one of these three games is still going to have to be a bullpen game. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of handle that part of it. If Walker Buehler is up to coming back on normal rest after his injury, I wonder if they go that way in a Game 7. That's, you know, if it gets to that, let's put it that way. If it gets to a Game 7, because, you know, obviously it's tough to win three games in a row in the World Series. You know, the only team you can think of that did that is, you know, the Boston Red Sox. And if you've seen how some of the Yankees fans are treating Poppy, they're still scarred from that all those many, you know, more than 20 years ago. So we'll be back. Steve should be back in the next segment. Paul Keels, you know, play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, will join us about 1:35. And you're listening to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We'll be right back.
you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. And a terrific service department, whether it's inspections, routine, difficult, they handle it all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time to bring in one of the best in the business, both in or out of the broadcast booth. Good friend. No, you are. It doesn't get any nicer than Paul Keels. My friend, welcome.
Hello, great one. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm looking forward to seeing you Saturday.
Likewise.
Oh, man. Well, I hope you and the gang are doing well. I've had enough emails from Skip this week, so I
mean, that is not surprising.
But he's great, too. So, interesting to this point for Ohio State, the game at Oregon, what did you see there, because you hadn't really seen it in the first five games, that caused optimism but corrections at the same time?
You know, Steve, I think the optimism came with how well Ohio State could play offensively against that Oregon team. You know, case in point, their first drive, they marched right down the field and scored. How they responded when they had lost the lead in that football game and playing in a very, very difficult environment against a very, very good team. The concerns were some of the explosive plays that defensively they allowed Oregon to have. And also turnovers, one turnover, and then a lost possession when Oregon successfully executed an onside kick, and the penalties, how those just really kind of proved to be an undoing. And it kind of led to what Ryan Dace talked a lot about this year, and it is don't leave any doubt. Don't leave it up to one play. Don't leave it up to one official's call. And those are the kind of things. Now, I think there's encouragement playing in a game like that. A one-point loss on the road against a team as talented as Oregon is, nobody wants to hear that, and there's no moral victories. But there were both of those things you said. There was encouragement and things to be concerned about.
Will Howard, to this point, I mean, look, it's one thing for us, you and I, to watch him on TV playing at Kansas State. What's it been like watching him play firsthand, and what does he bring to the table that makes him a very good college quarterback?
You know, Steve, he does exactly what they needed. An experienced guy who can throw the ball deep, and a guy that presents a rushing threat at the quarterback spot that they've not had since Justin Fields at Ohio State. So he's been a guy that's taken advantage of the weapons around him. We haven't seen him do it a lot, but, you know, there's that threat that he can pull the ball and run and make some things happen. He's really ingratiated himself well with his teammates and has shown to be a good leader out there.
All right. Okay, now we'll get to the left tackle part of it. Josh Simmons. Well, Josh Simmons came in from San Diego State. Man, that left tackle, when he played, because he can't play the rest of the season, but when he played, you've seen a lot of really good players. How good was that guy at left tackle?
Well, you know, to us lay people, here's the way you describe it, Steve. You didn't notice him. He was very penalty prone last year, jumping off sides and things like that. You didn't see that this year. Offensive line was one of the big questions about this football team coming in, and he took that left tackle spot and just solidified it. Now, when Zen Mihalski came in and replaced him in the Oregon game, he played reasonably well. Had his struggles this past week against Nebraska, and then, you know, got hurt, so his status is very much up in the air. You know, the other thought going into this, would they possibly take Donovan Jackson and move him out to left tackle, which is what they did at the end of the game last week. They were able to get some depth that's now being tested on their offensive line because of an illness early in their summer camp that gave guys like Austin Sarabeld and George Fitzpatrick and others a chance to get more reps than maybe they normally would get. But, you know, it's losing Josh Simmons was a big blow because he was playing very, very well.
No question about that. The three wideouts, I thought, obviously doing the USC game, I thought their four wides, like, that's the best group I've seen to this point. These three guys are better. Smith is a big add to the veteran of Igbuka and the second-year player in Tate. What has Smith meant to the dynamic of the wide receiver part, and how much does having the other two on the field actually help him out?
Well, what Smith has done is basically, for an opposing defense, meant pick your poison. Big, tall, physical receiver who, you know, by the accounts of people around him a lot, he's very mature as a freshman. The other part of it, Steve, too, is a healthy Emeka Igbuka. He missed three games last year. He had an ankle injury that he just never was able to shake. You throw in Carnell Tate with the way he's played, and then you don't forget about guys like Brandon Ennis and Jaden Ballard. And G. Scott, a tight end in the last three games, has really been maybe his most productive as a pass catcher. So it basically has just added to the number of threats. Throw in what the running backs can do, throw in what we talked about with Will Howard. So that's kind of where they're at. Now, are they guys that they don't necessarily have the big star appeal that Garrett Wilson, Marvin Harrison, and Chris Olave had, but they are guys that really present a multiple threat for this offense.
This is the best trio I've seen this year on tape. I mean, there's no question about that. Now, the running back part. Judkins, I obviously saw in the Peach Bowl. Henderson, I've seen too much of.
I knew you were going to say that.
It's interesting because with him, I feel like Penn State holds him in check, holds him in check, holds him in check. And then he makes that one run where you go, ah, great. He is really good.
Yeah. I remember him having that last year, or 2 years ago, rather, up there at State College.
Yeah.
And they both have, you know what it's been, Steve, is it's been a nice division of reps.
Yeah.
And that was kind of Ryan Day's whole plan, you know, with the hopes of it being a very long season. But, you know, the running game last week only managed 64 yards against what seemingly is a pretty good Nebraska front on defense.
Yeah.
And also their difficulty on third down kind of compounded all of that. But these are guys, both of them, that can really make the big plays. And, you know, Judkins may be the biggest play in the game last week, catching a touchdown pass. And both of them are very good pass catchers. So they are guys that really add to that. They really like the third guy, James Peoples, a freshman out of San Antonio that earlier in the year gave him some good reps.
Defensively, I thought, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, to me the biggest difference I saw in Ohio State defensively against Nebraska versus Oregon is I thought your defensive tackles played better. Is that fair?
Agreed. And, you know, they weren't able to get any kind of pressure on Dylan Gabriel. But, you know, to his credit, he was getting it out fast. And they had to be mindful of him running because he hurt him with a big one in that football game. But, you know, those guys, Ty Hamilton, Tyleek Williams, and others that are playing well. And, you know, you've seen what on the ends they can do with Jalen Tuimolo, Alan, Jack Sawyer. But
I noticed.
I know. You don't want to think about Tuimolo again. But also what's helped, Steve, the big question of this defense was linebackers. You know, they lost Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers, who had been here seemingly forever. But Sonny Styles moves from safety. And Cody Simon, who was a starter 3 years ago before getting hurt, has probably played his best football in the last couple of games. The defensive back end, even without Lathan Ransom last week, they were able to really make it difficult on Dylan Raiola. You know, Denzel Burke had a horrible game against Oregon. You knew he'd play better than he did last week. So the defense has got, you know, the weapons that you asked about up front, but they've also got depth on that defensive front, too.
Yeah. So I was going to ask about Cody Simon. I thought against Nebraska, he was the best player on the field. Bolsa, I just thought that's how well I thought he played last week. As a veteran presence, what does he do to stabilize the whole operation?
Well, he's the guy that's got the communication piece in his helmet. That tells you enough right there about how the coaches feel about him. But he's a guy that, more often than not, seems to be in the right position. He's a guy that, you know, gets everybody else in a proper position. And Cody will be the first one to tell you he takes advantage of what those guys up front do and, you know, trying to play off of them so that while they're occupying the offensive line, he can make plays. He's just a guy that, you know, and you've seen it over the years. They've every year they've awarded the Blocko jersey in honor of Bill Willis to a player that they feel typifies the leader on this football team. And they gave it to Cody Simon this year. That should tell you an awful lot about what they think about him. But he's lived up to it on the field.
Yeah, no, and he has been all of that and more. The fact that they've had to play back-to-back weeks, or, you know, there was obviously a bye week in between, but back-to-back games where players had to play a lot of plays as opposed to the first five games where they didn't have to. What kind of difference has that made? Because now it's going to be a third straight game potentially like that.
Well, that's one of those things that, you know, last year, we saw where people were kind of criticizing. I mean, you know how fans are. They criticize you when you win 50 to nothing, but they were criticizing Ryan Day for not getting some of those players in. Now what I think you've seen is a little bit of the payoff of that, even though there's the questions now about the depth on the offensive line. But it was able to get guys like Arvell Reese, who they really like what he's done as of late. A guy like Jalen McClain, a freshman safety from New Jersey, who got a start last week. And also getting Lorenzo Styles, who transferred from Notre Dame and moved from wide receiver to cornerback. Some of those early reps have had some of those guys ready. Now, yeah, it does get, you know, to wear the wear and tear. You never know what that's going to be, but these guys are also a lot younger than us, so they can handle it a lot better. But it's also one of those where you're seeing the coaching staff, and I'm sure the folks at Penn State think this way too. If guys have a bad play or guys get into a struggling situation, let them play them their way through it and learn from it. And I think that's what we've seen for the most part.
And that's the interesting part. There are coaches that lose nine games over two seasons. Some lose nine games over three seasons. Not many people lose nine games over all the seasons Ryan Day has been there. In some ways, I mean, you're around this every day, Paul. In Columbus or across the state, at times, is he in a no-win position?
No question. I mean, now think of the nine wins you've referenced, Steve. Three of them have come against Michigan in a row. Yep. You know what kind of hand-wringing that brings for the Ohio State fans. Throw in a playoff loss to Georgia, a game that very easily could have been a win had it not been for a missed field goal in the final seconds.
That's right.
Two losses to Oregon, the only school that's beaten Ryan Day before Thanksgiving. So, you know, and the Cotton Bowl is really an anomaly last year because of injury and because of your starting quarterback opting to the transfer portal before the bowl game. So it is one of those things that, you know, even after last week, goodness gracious, Steve, people were talking about, well, who could replace Ryan Day when he gets fired? And people, I think, forgot that it was a win, you know, over a Nebraska program that is getting better. Folks don't want to hear that, but what Ryan Day has done has really been fantastic. The talent level that he's brought in, the talent that he's maintained. One of the biggest things they had going into this year was getting guys like Denzel Burke and Jalen Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer deciding to stay rather than go pro. Now, NIL has a lot to do with that, but, you know, and plus Ryan Day, and you know, I've talked about this before, it doesn't help you win games, but he's such a wonderful human being that certainly is something that I think people, when you beat Nebraska only 21-17, maybe they lose sight of.
See, this is what I tell people all the time. I don't think at times people understand how hard it is to win. That's what makes it so gratifying. It's not easy. I mean, if it were easy, hey, there'd be a whole bunch of teams undefeated right now.
Well, you know, and the other thing about that, too, you know, for all of the things that Urban Meyer did when he was the head coach here, he had two seasons with a loss in each season that kept them from being in the playoffs to unranked teams on the road against Iowa and on the road against Purdue. Losses that nobody saw coming. Ryan Day's not had a defeat like that. All of his defeats have come against teams, you know, the likes that we've talked about. So it is amazing. It's the high pressure that comes with college football and coaching. That's why these coaches are paid the amount of money they're paid.
What's been the viewpoint in Columbus about Penn State?
I think people have, even as the season was getting ready to start, understood the real threat that this game would present. Yeah, everybody was looking forward to Oregon because, you know, they hadn't played there since 1967, the new element of the Big Ten, and then the expectations what Oregon could be. But folks, I think, knew all along, once you cleared that hurdle, or didn't clear it as they didn't, this game was going to be the next gigantic challenge. Being on the road, being in a tough environment, and with a Penn State team that is incredibly talented, with a quarterback in Drew Aller who has become more efficient, who has improved his game, and also with what you see from that defensive side. So, and add to that the concern that exists from this front now with Ohio State dealing with injury on the offensive line and looking at seeing how well Abdul Carter and Zane Durant have played on that defensive line for Penn State.
I cannot wait to see you Saturday, my friend. And, yes, we'll do it with the usual pregame brilliance that we crank out every year.
Well, I'm sure the answers will be brilliant. I don't know if the questions will.
Oh, hey, let me, you're going to be talking to the ultimate. They point the guy toward the field and he talks guy. I mean, come on.
I know the feeling. Now, looking forward to it also.
Thanks. Hey, Paul, appreciate you.
You got it, Steve. See you Saturday.
He's the best. Oh, man, he's the best. Paul Keels. Oh, goodness gracious. I'm trying to think. We were definitely paired up. First day we were paired up with the Big Ten announcers outing this year. I think the second day he finally ditched me to, you know, because he felt he had to. He was the host, and what a host he was this year. We had a great time out there in Columbus back in May. Todd, you feeling better?
I'm great.
Yeah. Yeah, I showed up.
Hey. As long as you were there when it was time for Paul, I was good.
By the way, you do know who's not showing up, right?
Hard telling.
Former President Trump, there had been a lot of talk about him showing up on Saturday. The campaign has decided, no, the logistics are very difficult, especially on a game like this. When he went to Georgia, Alabama, it was at night. The fact this is such an early game at noon, the logistics are difficult, so the campaign and Penn State agreed like it wasn't the best time to do it. But Jason Kelsey's going to be here. That means anything to you?
He's becoming America's house guest.
Oh, I know enough of those guys.
He's everywhere
lately. I know enough of those guys. Brian Allen, our former Penn State basketball guard. He was around here forever and ever, never, never. Now we've referred to him as America's guest. All right. We will take a break. We'll come back more in a moment. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Getting revved up for the game on Saturday. I'm trying to think if I have any more to interview. I think I'm done on interviews for the rest of the week. I think I'm done with that part. So, which is good. That's good. Yeah. I've done my part. Okay.
Now it's the calm before the storm.
Nah, I've been calm the whole time. I was telling my class this morning, this always drove Matt nuts. Remember, Penn State played Auburn. It was a whiteout game in September a couple years ago. So the game's at 7:30 at night. Somebody called or whatever. I think somebody called the show and they said, you know, when a game like that, what do you do during the day? And I said, I'm probably going to cut my lawn. And everybody's like, what? I said, well, my lawn needs to be cut. I said, I've got time to do it. I'm going to do that. And Matt was incredulous. He was like, how can you possibly do that? He says, with a game like that? I said, Matt, I said, what do you want me to do? Pace for 10 hours? I said, or get something done? I said, I cut my lawn. I said, then again, like Monday, did you actually cut your lawn? I said, yeah. I said, it looks pretty good. But I mean, everybody acts like you're supposed to be like, please. Right? God. You know what?
The excitement comes during the game.
Right. I mean, right. People will ask me, how well do you sleep the night before a big game? Well, I sleep with complete ease. You want to know why? I mean, I've been ready since literally, except for practice, I've been ready since Monday morning. I got everything done on Sunday like I always do. I follow the same pattern every week. Everything was done on Sunday. I went to the practice on Sunday night. I've already seen two Ohio State tapes. I watched Oregon and I watched Nebraska. Okay. Right. I went to practice last night, got everything I really needed out of that. I'll go tonight. I'll also go to basketball this afternoon, too. I've got a game on Monday. And Binghamton's going to play Queens tonight in an exhibition game, so I'll get the box score and work on that tomorrow. But there's a point where, if they were to play the game now, I could do the game now easily. Right? But that's the same for every game. If they were playing Kent State and not Ohio State, I could do the game right now. I know how big the game is. I got it. I understand that. Right? But it doesn't affect how I go about, well, I'm not going to do extra or less. No. I got it. The whole point is, are you ready to go? Well, I'm ready to go. After that, I'm going to go to practice, watch the World Series tonight, right? Watch some Thursday night football tomorrow. Okay? See if any Yankee fans decide to charge the field and take the ball out of Mookie Betts' glove. Whatever. Okay? But it's, I think people, I understand how excited they are. They should be excited. This is a huge game. But when you're actually involved in doing something that's part of what's going on with the game, you got to do the same thing every single week. Because if you don't, then you'll get off kilter. And it's like I could go now.